Hi everyone, welcome to revisionmedia.org with me, Paul Stevenson, on this Thursday, the 16th of April 2020. And April 2020 it is, as we are all dictated to under the guise of the stopping the spread of coronavirus. If you watch our media over here, it's stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. Stay home. Protect the NHS, save lives. Stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. Over and over again, over and over again. Ad nauseum, we hear the career politicians, the little wimpies at school that we would have slapped around for fun, dictating to us, telling us what we all need to do. And depressingly, the while we here in the UK indulge in a well-meaning, no doubt, but extremely misguided at best, and in reality, a supine and tragic display of mass bleating and ignorance and conformity by clapping, cheering, clanging pots and saucepans and sounding off our car horns in support of the NHS workers on the front line, on the war against coronavirus, every Thursday at 8 p.m. It is depressing. No mention of the economy. It's tragic. As I say, the sound of tragic mass bleating. And not a mention of the economy. Not a mention of the suffering that's coming down the tracks. Not a mention of... Not even a look at the figures of the projected death toll and the reality of the death tolls. I mean, the figures are all over the place. I mean, we're nowhere near even in this country of the death toll in 2014 or 15 of 28,300 deaths, and they've shut the whole economy down. I mean, it's frightening. The people scare me more than anything. It's the mass hysteria. It's the mass ignorance. It really is frightening, and no one, of course, has any clue, it would seem, because if they did, we wouldn't see these people out in great numbers. They were everywhere. I was just like minding my business, and then I heard all this noise at 8 o'clock, and I was like, oh God, yeah, oh God, it's the the weekly clapping, the weekly display of tragedy. It would be encouraging if there was silence. It would indicate that people are aware of what's going on. What is going on? They're crashing the economy. They are bringing in a police state. They are normalizing us and conditioning us to get used to lesser freedoms. All the while, the Jewish bankers essentially money launder through our governments. Because that's what they do. They create money out of thin air, counterfeit money, and then they lend it to our governments, and that's how it cleans up. And you will pay for it. It's like I heard an analogy of someone talking about, it's like you get a blood transfusion from your left arm to your right arm. Well, where's the money coming from? Who's going to pay for it? It's coming from you. It's your money, because you're going to pay for it, and your children are going to pay for it, and their children are going to pay for it. That's what's going on. And we're out clapping the NHS. We're out clapping our own enslavement. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's like Jeremiah said, greater knowledge comes greater sorrow. Ignorance is bliss. Give me that blue pill again, please. What is it? Is it the blue pill or the red one that is the ignorance? Give me the other one. I want to go back. It's like, isn't there one of the guys from the Matrix? He wanted to go back. I think he did go back, didn't he? Couldn't handle it. I sympathize. Anyway, if I can pull it up, thankfully, in Michigan today, they were sounding off their horns and making a lot of noise for a very different reason. And let's see if I can pull up that clip, which may provide some hope, at least some although while vast swathes of America are brainwashed as well, at least some seem to be pushing back.
My husband is on unemployment for the first time in our life. And it's unwillingly that we're taking unemployment. We want to go back to work.
Time for our state to be opened up. We're tired of not being able to buy the things that we need, go to the hairdressers, get our hair done. It's time to open up.
And open up business tomorrow.
I know that people are angry, and that's okay. And if you want to take it out and send it my way,
that's okay. It's all right. I allow you to be angry.
Makes you feel better? That's fine. We know that this rally endangered people. When people gather that way, they were in close proximity, they were touching one another, that's how COVID-19, the home order. That's fine. We know that this rally endangered people. Gather that way without masks. They were in close proximity. They were touching one another. That's how COVID-19 spreads. And so the sad irony here is that the protest was that they don't like being in the stay home order. And they may have just created a need to lengthen it.
The sad irony is this: the penny hasn't dropped with you, love, that you don't dictate, that you are part of a little clique that are terrified that the people will rise up against you, because this is pathological audacity by your Jewish handlers and their little cronies. And that's the tragic irony. The penny hasn't dropped. You think, oh, well, this is going to result in mass lockdown. Who says you? You're tiny in numbers. What are you going to do? Bring in the military and start shooting everybody? Well, at least the Americans are armed. You'd be done. You'd be done, the game would be up. This is pathological audacity, and the tragic irony is you still seem to think that you're very safe. Are the little bitch.
Which is something that we're trying to avoid at all costs.
I mean, that is the sad irony of this woman. Even in a protest like that where they're disobeying the government, she seems to think, well, all you're going to do is end up resulting in being locked up even more. Well, you can try and tighten the screw if you want, but what happens if it's not 1,000 the next time and it's 5,000 and you try and tighten the screw after that? And what happens if it's 10,000 or 20,000 armed citizens come out and the police come out and it turns into a massacre? Then what are you going to do? You'll have lost control. And you can try and impose your will, but this is just like how a bully works. He'll inch forward. He'll push you at first. If you take that, he's going to punch you in the face. If you take that, he's going to put you down and punch you in the face again. Before you know it, he's going to be getting his genitals out and sticking them in your face and having his mate coming along and urinating on you. How much are you going to take? The more you take, the more they will give you. That's how these people work. We seem to love it over here in the UK. We really love it. This is a communist revolution. Make no mistake about it. This is everything we feared. I mean, I remember talking about even the Jewish thing. You know, it's like, you know, when you're on your knees and your children are on their knees and their futures and you're hungry. and you're risking being thrown into a gulag or a prison without any trial, then maybe you'll stop being so polite and you'll say, okay, these bankers, Alan Greenspan, Timothy Geithner, Paul Volcker before that. Missing one. Oh, lovely Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen. Who are these people? They are Talmudic Jews. And this is why they've been expelled from every country in Europe. Not because of mindless anti-Semitism, because people, when they're hungry enough, they say, who is doing it? And then they find out. They find out, okay, there's far too many Jews involved here in these positions for us to ignore. And I think we're a long way off that. And who knows? Maybe we don't even need to identify. I don't know. But the central banks are basically a criminal syndicate, satanic criminal syndicate, who basically launder money through our governments and enslave us through debt and our children. Because this is the biggest bubble in history, and this coronavirus has pricked it, and they are deliberately imploding the economy. It's the biggest wealth transfer, the biggest transfer of wealth in human history, and meanwhile they have brought in a police state, largely to see how much we'll take, and they are going to do it gradually. And in another 3 weeks' time, which we've brought in over here in the UK, we'll be more used to it. And they've given no guarantees about how long it'll go on after that, or what's going to happen after that. You can imagine my surprise if after 3 weeks they say we need another 3 weeks, and it's not based on any science. The more figures come out, the more it's proven that they're wrong. They've hyped it, they've over-exaggerated it, and there's no justification for it. If ever we needed to, if we ever doubted it in the first place. Gerald Celente did a video the other day, and he gets it. I felt sorry for him. I've never seen him so animated and so upset. I'll play a clip of that. He just went nuts, man. I sometimes think I rant too much, but I mean, Gerald was just. Well, I mean, it's understandable.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente. Your New Trends Journal is out. Yes, it is. And here's the cover. Tankman 2.0. The Chinese way. You will obey. That's what's going on. You will obey. President Trump declared himself the ultimate authority. And little Andy Cuomo, the boy born on third base, and thought he hit a triple. Yeah, that guy. He said, hey, I'm the authority over here in this state. That's right. You see the little loudmouth shooting off when de Blasio, the mayor in New York, another little low-life, freaky piece of crap, garbage politician. Yeah, when he decided to close all the schools in New York City, Cuomo rebutted. He said, hey, that's only his opinion. I'm the guy that's in charge. I make the decision. Opinions, that's all we're getting, are opinions. Your Trends Journal is filled with facts. The facts of who are dying from COVID-19 are crystal clear. The elderly, chronically ill. People that are obese, diabetics, suffering from lung diseases such as smoking, of which, by the way, 480,000 died in the United States last year. Hey, but more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarettes. We know that. That was okay. That didn't make news. What do we have, 25,000 dead in America now as I speak? Out of 330 million people? More people have already died from the flu. All we have become is what we hated the most. Just as they were shutting down China, when this virus broke out, and the mainstream media and all the politicians, look at those Chinese how to control the people. We have become what we hate the most. The Chinese state of America with a K, USSA. Listen to this. The state's top health official said Florida residents should be social distancing and wearing facial coverings for a year. Who is this piece of garbage? I'll tell you, Salenti, calm down. He's a state official. He's an officer. Officer F.U. Until we get a vaccine, which is a while off, this is going to be our new normal. You got it? Quote, until we get a vaccine, this little piece of shit boy, this little nothing of a clown kid, telling us what to do, and the people march off to orders. Everybody got their mask on, their social distancing. Watch out. Oh, the cops are locking up everybody. A nightclub in San Francisco's Bayview District was shut down on Saturday. San Francisco police raided the unlicensed club, city officials said, after an investigation by city attorneys found the venue was holding events in a warehouse that sometimes drew more than 100 people. Health orders from both the city and the state have required bars and nightclubs to close, ban gatherings of any size. You will follow orders. You live in China. Mayo rules. Does anybody get it? Hey, don't believe me? How about this slimy piece of government shit? There's no light switch here. It's more like a dimmer, Governor Newsom of California said. I know you want the timeline, but we can't get ahead of ourselves and dream of regretting. Let's not make the mistake of pulling the plug too early, as much as we want this. Listen to the clown jerk scum's lingo. Boys and girls, all you liberals that love this stuff, that bow down and take it. Light switch, beep. More like a dimmer. Pulling the plug. All right. You see the language Mao uses? And the clowns obey. 733 dead out of 40 million people in California equals 0.0018, which equals nothing to close down the entire state and ruin the lives of millions of people. But these officers, like the clown boy over there in Florida, and the scum politicians like here in New York and Ohio and Michigan and in Europe, in Italy and Germany and France and Spain, they don't have to worry about working. They suck off the public tit. That's all they do. They'll get their money. They don't care about you. You are just a worker in Slavelandia, the new China. People following the orders of politicians. How ignorant and stupid can they be? Hey, you need any more proof than this? How about Penis Cheney, because I don't want anybody to say Salenti is crude and calls him dick. Look at this little piece of shit, or I should say, little dick. How about this scumbag? How about this murderous lowlife? Another boy born on third base, thought he had a home run with a brain smaller than a pea and cojones smaller than a moth's balls. George W. Bush. And look at how all the people tied yellow ribbons around everything that wouldn't move. Sent their loved ones to go fight and die in Afghanistan and Iraq on wars based on lies. That's how low the people will go. Looking up to the lowest of low lives, the Democrats and Repulsivekins. The Contis over there in Italy. The little cazzone Macrone over there in France. A piece of nothing time like Sanchez in Spain. And a Merkel of blech in Germany. The Stasi is happy you're back. If we don't fight for freedom, we will die in war. It's happening in front of us. We have lost full control of our freedom. And the people rat everybody out and they put it in the newspapers when they have the stories of the cops finding somebody that's not socially distanced with too many people. And if you see this, you can report it to this number. They have it in all the papers when they report this. Rat out your neighbors, rat out people that you see are having a good time. It's the way you keep the communist country of the United States of America alive and dead for the people. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. Are you one of that irate, tireless minority? If so, please spread the word. Subscribe to the Trends Journal. Tell other people. Go to our website, our YouTube. Spread the words. Must unite for freedom. Our country has been taken over by the Chinese mentality, monarchy, and madness.
All right, Tucker Carlson, who I think, even though he works for Fox News, and which is a mainstream media outlet at the end of the day, I think Tucker Carlson is a fantastic journalist. Most of them at Fox are better than CNN's, CNBC. All of our media over here have even the equivalent of a Fox News over here. But at the same time, there's a limit. But I think Tucker Carlson is a fantastic journalist, even though he works for Fox, which is to say is better than most of mainstream media while still being mainstream media. And it has morons like that Sean Hannity, who can't get his nose from up Israel's arse, for example. Tucker Carlson, I think, genuinely is an American patriot with intelligence. In his latest article, it says, for many Americans, the coronavirus shutdowns, whether you believe they're necessary or not, either way, have amounted to a life-changing catastrophe. Millions of people have lost their jobs. Families across the country are suffering from debt and from uncertainty. Many of them will likely come apart under the strain. But even Tucker's not talking about the central banks. Why doesn't anybody identify the central bank robbery? It's just daylight robbery what they're doing. It's criminal. It couldn't be any less constitutional if they tried. It really is the head of the snake. You cut the central banks out of the equation, and the whole house of cards collapses. Now, the economy is a house of cards, of course, as well, and they're deliberately collapsing that, and the federal and the Federal Reserve and the central bankers will benefit from that. What we need is to cut the head of the snake off, and the criminal syndicate ruler's house of cards will collapse. Carson goes on, so in the name of protecting the public from a deadly virus, which he himself is exposed as anything but a deadly virus, unless you happen to be 140 or about 50 stone, we have wound up destroying a huge number of people. Regardless, it's one of the saddest things to happen to this country in a very long time, and yet some of our political class don't seem sad at all. For them, this is not a human tragedy, it's an opportunity. Now, as a rule, it is the most mediocre people who are trying the hardest to exploit this moment. Here's one. In the long history of the Commonwealth of Virginia, it's likely that no politician has ever amassed a record more embarrassing or less impressive than the current governor of the state, Clan Robes Blackface. As the Easter weekend approached, Governor Clan Robes announced he'd be signing a tall stack of highly radical partisan legislation, mostly because he could. Governor Ralph Northman he's the governor of. As we deal with the pandemic, my administration has also worked to deal with the 1,291 bills passed by the General Assembly. Today we announced that I have signed landmark gun safety legislation, as well as the Women's Reproductive Health Protection, which is another way of saying we protect women who kill babies. By tomorrow night, I will have acted on all the legislation before me. I mean, this guy's really going for it, isn't he? More than 12,000 bills, gun control, because they're terrified, of course, of the guns, which is why, because they knew that they were going to do this one day, so they tried everything they could to disarm the American people. But unfortunately, for their timeline, they had to act now and try and do it while the American people are still armed. We're not armed over here, sadly. More than 12,000 bills. Gun control as sop to the abortion industry, ripping down historic monuments. It was like an entire rundown from an MSNBC weekend show all signed into law. There is nothing the interest groups that control Governor Clan Robes didn't get in this. They've got it all. But there's at least one bill in that stack that ought to worry you, even if you're lucky enough not to live in Virginia, his so-called election reforms. With his signature, Clan Robes eliminated all of Virginia's voter ID laws. He signed legislation that allowed residents to vote up to 45 days before an election for any reason. Because the Democrats have got no chance of winning, so they're doing everything and anything to get rid of Trump. I don't even understand why they hate Trump so much, because I don't know. I mean, I guess I do and I don't. I mean, Trump is very much part of this whole establishment in many ways, but I actually think that the problem with Trump is just lack of education rather than for the most part rather than anything sinister about the man, because I think when he does get information, I mean, he's the guy that's calling for the economy to be open in America. We don't have anyone like that over here. You know, when Trump gets the information, he tends to get bullied or, you know, misled a little bit, and then he gets the information and then he goes back to his instincts. But I don't understand how someone like Trump can call himself a capitalist when you have this basically Keynesian system which prints money out of thin air. How can you be a capitalist and then bail out all these companies? Free market capitalism means if you need a bailout, it means you failed as a business. Well, that's what happens when you don't run your business properly. In a free market capitalist society, you should be failing. But of course, they all get bailed out and the people get a few crumbs and everyone thanks the government for money that's their money anyway. Oh, isn't the government great giving us money? The government's broke. It doesn't have any money. It's your money. They're giving you your money because you'll be paying it back. And so will your children and your grandchildren at this rate. QE infinity. How does Trump, as a businessman, cannot tell the difference between essentially socialism and capitalism? Of course, all the socialists blame the capitalists because they don't know the difference either. So they think what we've currently had for the last creating bubbles all over the place and being run by central banks to create money out of thin air, they think that's capitalism. They think that by bailing out companies, that it's capitalists' fault. Real free market capitalism doesn't do that. You fail. Simple as. If you haven't got any money saved and there's a crisis in your own home, then you're in trouble. But no one's in trouble anymore because the government just bails them out by creating money out of thin air, counterfeit currency that they launder through the government for you to pay back in real times with the sweat of your brow. You couldn't make it up. I mean, anyway, with the signature Klan robes eliminated all of Virginia's ID laws, he signed legislation that allows residents to vote for up to 45 days before an election for any reason. There's also automatic voter registration for anyone using state DMV, including those who do it online. Now, those are big changes, unprecedented changes, but Governor Klan Robes is not the only one who's pushing them. So-called election reform is a coordinated effort, and that should not surprise you. The party that won't let you think for yourself always acts as one. Former First Lady Michelle Obama is using the crisis to promote the radical expansion of nationwide voting by mail. Citizens could also request ballots online and then print them at home. Now, no serious person at the national level has ever suggested doing that before because, of course, it would instantly destroy the public's faith in election outcomes and hence our democracy. But if there was ever a time to sneak something in, this disruptive past a beleaguered and distracted population, this is it. The justification for all this, take a guess, yes, racism. I mean, you just couldn't make it up, could you? What is wrong with these people? There is no end to their tenacity, to their insatiable appetite for power and control. I mean, there needs to be blowback from this. I mean, it's, you know what? Let it get bad. I honestly think it's going to have to get really bad before people start saying, how did this happen? Who's responsible? And as I say, over here, we don't even have a Fox News. We don't have a Tucker Carlson. And anybody who does speak out, we're not anywhere near in big enough numbers to get our voices heard by the masses. People like Peter Hitchens who've been speaking out, we don't get anywhere near it. They don't get anywhere near mainstream media, very rarely. I'm trying to find, I've been struggling to find certainly any mainstream articles to break down this, but Tucker Carlson, I think, has done the best work in this. He's got a good team operating for him. He's got some questions here as well. He said, early data from Wuhan led researchers to conclude that each infected person on average infected about 2.5 additional people. In epidemiological terms, that's a lot. It means the outbreak could double every 6 days. That's the assumption we've been working on ever since. Now it looks as though that assumption has been a profound understatement. A new draft paper by a team of scholars at Los Alamos National Laboratory concludes that the Wuhan coronavirus is actually highly infectious. You see, they keep making this argument that it's highly infectious, and it's just like, well, so what? Who cares if something's highly infectious if it's not dangerous? I mean, it's demonstrably the case that regardless of numbers, and we haven't reached numbers yet anywhere near the sort of numbers that flu kills every year. This epidemic has come nowhere near it. 500,000 on average every year from flu, according to the World Health Organization. Regardless of the numbers, it overwhelmingly flu attacks old people and people with compromised immune systems. Anybody with a strong enough immune system is able to deal with this. This is why they're not testing, because they would then see, I believe, ostensibly, that it would reveal that a lot of people have been affected by this and they're absolutely fine. They felt a bit rough, like you've had a bad cold. I had a bad cold for a while. I didn't have any of the symptoms, where the persistent cough, the sore throat, and the fever, but I've still felt pretty rough. And I imagine, you know, for most people, that's kind of what they're experiencing with the coronavirus. It's not enough to shut down the economy. One of the justifications that we've given here over in the UK today, that the government have given for keeping us all locked down for another 3 weeks, is care homes. Old people in care homes. Oh, we've got new figures now that there's a lot of people dying in care homes. Well, again, who's not? Every death is a tragedy, but people in care homes are usually 75 or 80 plus years of age. People can't live forever. These people die anyway. You die when you're 80. It's normal. Not to mention, it's easy to quarantine people in that environment. We know where they are. We know to get the PPE in there. We know how to deal with that, because they're in a confinement area. You know, care homes, we know exactly where they are. Keep them in there. They're not going anywhere. They're old people. Where are they going? Be a sacrifice for their children, probably to stay away from them for a while or whatever. But how is that a justification for shutting down the whole economy? How does that affect everybody who's not in a care home when they're driving past the care home to go to their job? It's ridiculous. It's absurd that people just stand for this. I mean, there needs to be serious, serious blowback from this. And I am sick and fucking tired of our media over here. I'm sorry to swear, but I am sick and tired of these people. I really am. I mean, I understand Salenti's anger. I really do. I'm sick of them up there just lying to people. This is just, and it's always done in the name of their own moral high ground grabbing righteousness, as they tell us, oh, this Linda is 45 and she's lost her mother to coronavirus, and on comes Linda. She was a lovely woman. She was a lovely mother. Everyone in the community loved her. They don't understand. They think it's just one more statistic on the death toll of coronavirus, but that's my mother. It's not a statistic to me. You need to stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives. That's the BBC for you. I can't remember anybody like Linda or whatever her name was being interviewed when 28,300 people died in 2014 from flu. They didn't seem to care then, did they? They don't seem to go around the world interviewing the people who die of starvation. Half a billion of them every year? And all the people die of poverty. Well, there's going to be a lot of people dying of poverty if this keeps going. I doubt whether the BBC will be interviewing those people. In my opinion, they've bitten off more than they chew. I've spoken about this before. When Jews have been allowed into the country, these Talmudic Jews are allowed into a country, they push and they push and they push. They can't help themselves. It's their nature. And then they get a reaction, and then they get expelled. They don't know how to stop, and they always keep pushing. And I remember saying to E. Michael Jones, I remember saying that ultimately I think the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. They'll push too far. They're a mad dog, and then eventually they'll get the reaction, and then eventually it's going to be the same thing over and over again. And he actually said to me that a Jewish friend of his said that they are terrified. That what happened, or what they say happened in Germany with the National Socialist Party will be a picnic compared to what's coming down the tracks for the Jews, because they have really bitten off more than they can chew. And not just the Jews, but the people who are in cohorts with them. We have a fifth column in all of our governments in the West, many of them made up by the descendants of early Jewish immigrants into the country. A lot of our politicians are actually Jews, so who are don't need to be bribed. They are part of this clique. And we have the other non-Jewish moving parts who are bribed or intimidated into going along with it. There needs to be repercussions. This is intolerable. Anyway, now it looks like that assumption has been a profound understatement. A new paper by a team of scholars at Los Alamos National Laboratory concludes that the Wuhan virus is actually highly infectious. Before I digressed, I was saying that just because it's highly infectious doesn't mean that it's a threat. It's only a threat to a certain demographic, which if we targeted our efforts in that way, we could open up the economy and let everyone get on with their lives. And for anybody with more than about three brain cells rattling around their heads, it's quite obvious that this is not about the coronavirus. This is about crashing the economy. It's about a transfer of wealth, and it's about a police state. Communism has come to a town near you with the terrifying face of coronavirus, the Wizard of Oz virus, it should be called. You may as well shut down the economy, because until we find a cure for cancer or breast cancer, all you've got to do, when people have cancer or breast cancer or prostate cancer, those people get advice. The health services deal with that in a targeted way. We don't shut the whole economy down for it. There's probably, I think, 10,000 people in the UK every year die from prostate cancer. Maybe not a huge number, but it's pretty big considering we've got 12,000 deaths here in the UK from coronavirus, and they shut it down whenever we had less than we were less than 100. Anyway, is this estimate accurate? We don't know if it is. An awful lot of conclusions about this virus have turned out to be embarrassingly wrong. It has happened again and again with enormous consequences. Yeah, because their predictions have been wrong in the first place. Because they're based on some lackey typing information into a computer so he can get the results that he wants to get. But for a moment, imagine this new number from Los Alamos is correct, and the size of the outbreak in Wuhan is doubling every 3 days. That would mean a huge number of people that were infected with the virus. Here's the mystery. The Chinese government allowed 5 million residents to flee the city before they locked it down in January. Most of them presumably went to other places in China. According to the Chinese, as well as all available evidence we now have in the West, there was no other major outbreaks in China, not in Shanghai, not in Chengdu, not in Beijing. Meanwhile, other cities all over Europe and the United States have been brought to their knees by the virus. How could this be? It doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Yeah, I thought that as well. You look at the figures, for example, Vietnam has zero cases. Australia has all of about 61 deaths. And they're doing exactly the same in Australia as they're doing here, for 61 deaths. Nobody's allowed to die anymore. That'll be the next thing. If we have one more death from anything, then we're never allowing the lockdown to be lifted. For some reason, he goes on, almost no one in the American media has even asked about it. That's strange. At this point, we have no real explanation for why the coronavirus spread throughout the West, but not throughout China. We should find out. And that's far from the only thing we don't understand about this pandemic. How about the most basic question of all? How deadly is it? We still don't know. In Italy, more than 10% of people with confirmed cases have died. In Germany, just 2%. It seems clear that both these numbers overstate the reality of the death rate, given that most people aren't tested until they're already sick. More comprehensive testing in one town in Germany suggested a death rate of just 0.3%. Would that number hold in every place? Or could it be that the town was infected with a milder form of the virus? And I've been saying this from the start. If you look back on my YouTube channel, which is Paul Stevenson, Stevenson, I said that's why they're not testing. They don't want to reveal that the ratio of infected people to deaths is the deaths toll compared to those infected will be tiny, and then it's very hard for them to justify this. And I think they're terrified, really, of these tests coming out. So our excuse over here is, oh, well, we've got lots of testing kits, but they don't work. Isn't that convenient? So the article goes on. Could it be that the town was infected with a milder form of the virus? Or is it possible that some groups of people are more vulnerable to the illness than others? We know that genetics play a major role in the way many diseases progress. Is that true here? We don't know. While we're at it, here are a few other questions we should answer. Is the virus seasonal? Will it recede in the summer before returning in the fall and winter? If infected people get immunity, how long does that immunity last? Will the virus mutate so that people who get it this year could get it again next year? And critically, what are the long-term effects of being infected? There's mounting evidence that an awful lot of people may have the virus and do not know it. Do they face long-term health consequences from that? If so, what are they? We can only guess. Those are just some of the things we still don't know about this strange new virus from Wuhan, China. It would have been nice if authorities had learned a lot more before they took some such dramatic steps in response to it. Our leaders had two examples to choose from when this pandemic bore down on America. The Swedish model of targeted restrictions coupled with voluntary distancing. See, the Swedes didn't get the memo on this because, you see, they can keep this facade going that the lockdown has slowing down, you know, the curve, slowing down the death toll. Well, we don't know that. All we know is the media terrified everybody and told them we must stay in to protect the NHS and save lives. How would we ever know unless we had a comparative study so we could say, well, this very similar demographic group over here with the population similar to this group over here decided not to have a lockdown. So we can compare the two things. Thankfully, we have Sweden. So we have the comparative study. I mean, this is how any, this is the irony of all this. When people do scientific studies, I forget what the word is, but they have one group which takes this pill under these conditions and they keep the conditions very similar. Another group over here which takes a placebo, and then they have another group over here which does X, Y, and Z, and they see what results they get. This is just now, let's just do it this way, and you know, because we say so. The Swedish model of targeted restrictions coupled with voluntary distancing, and the Chinese model of total lockdowns, internal travel restrictions, and punishment for those who step out of line. Our leaders choose the Chinese model. With every passing day, the response becomes more restrictive. Requests that people stay indoors have become orders. People are being fined and arrested for driving alone, playing catch in the park, and paddle boarding in the ocean. Shamefully, in my own neck of the woods in Northern Ireland, they've handed out 104 fines. Oh, sorry, 107 fines to people because they were having barbecues in their home last year and they were going to parks and stuff like that. There's 124 deaths in Northern Ireland. What are the police trying to do? Trying to have as many fines as deaths? Because they're getting very close. 124 deaths and 107 fines handed out. Disgusting. Shameful. The fucking police, excuse me, should educate themselves. So people are being arrested for playing catch in the park and paddle boarding on the ocean. How are these measures keeping us safe? The short answer is we don't know that. As noted, we still don't know much of anything. We're definitely not encouraged to ask about it. Dr. Fauci, who has become the face of the coronavirus response, is now suggesting that America could adopt a feature of life familiar to the population of mainland China, internal passports. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, you know, what they should be, they should tell these people that they're a disgrace, and then they should ask them, how much are they paying you? That's what they should ask them when they get a chance. Was asked if he could imagine a time when Americans who have already been infected by the coronavirus and recovered carry certificates of immunity. Fauci replied, unelected Fauci, who none of us heard about, just like the chief medical officer over here 3 weeks ago, who we never heard of about, but yet dictate to us what we're doing and we all just take it. Unelected Fauci, who, as I say, no one heard in their lives until 3 weeks ago, said, that's possible. It's one of those things that we talk about when we want to make sure we know who the vulnerable people are. This is something that's been discussed. I think it might actually have some merit under certain circumstances. The response should be, well, thanks for your advice. Who gives a shit what you think, Fauci? I don't remember you being elected. I remember Donald Trump being elected. So let's see what he has to say. Your papers, please. this article goes on. Imagine a country where illegal immigrants can work, drive, get welfare, and vote, all without a single authentic document. Meanwhile, 300 million illegal citizens must produce government papers to prove their right to go outside. That's where we're headed, and with remarkable speed. And every time I spoke about this sort of stuff on my radio show, and I said what was going on over the last 2 or 3 years, it all sounded so conspiratorial. For what has to the first time in our history, Easter services have been banned in many places. As he pointed out in one of his previous articles, but you can, liquor stores are open though. It's all right to rub shoulders with people while you're, you know, in the liquor stores. And there's a lot of people that I'm sure will be drowning their sorrows at the minute as their careers and their jobs and their futures are flushed down the toilet. So you're allowed in the liquor stores, but you're not allowed in the churches. Authorities will allow citizens to go to the supermarket, but not practice Christianity in public. Yeah. I mean, they'll try and say that because, oh, well, they're not allowing Islam to be practiced or any other. It's not an attack on Christianity. Well, whatever. The Chinese population would recognize that, too. In Michigan, Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer has ordered a few stores still open to fence off areas that offer furniture, paint, or home improvement goods. Whitmer considers these, quote, non-essential, unquote, items, so she's prohibiting their sale. And again, this is where the church needs to come in and say, well, we have decided that we have another King, one Jesus, because this is normal for Christians down through the years to be persecuted. And we have decided that worshipping is essential. Thanks very much. Arrest us all if you want. And I've been talking to my church about this. There's been a little bit of tension around that. They don't want to do it, and I understand. But, you know, the time's going to have to come. If this goes on and on, we're just going to have to go to church, or I'm going to be up there on my own. The governor of Vermont has issued similar orders for stores there. Other places will doubtless follow their lead. What's the rationale for this? Would closing off more sections of a store increase crowding in the areas that remain open? Where is the science that suggests this works? There isn't any. They feel like doing it, so they are. Politicians under the only risk for them is in restraint. Sorry, understand the only risk for them is in restraint. Authoritarian overreach is almost never punished. When the coronavirus is finally passed, our leaders want to be able to say they took it seriously. But there's nothing serious about reactions like this. They are mindless and destructive. Instead of arresting people for going to church, maybe they could pause and answer a few basic questions first. That was from Tucker Carlson. Hear, hear, Tucker. Thankfully, there's one guy in mainstream media, just one guy, that's it. A couple of the other people in Fox News have done some decent work as well, but that is it, right? You know, you're not going to get anything over here, as I say. The sort of people that are talking about anything worth talking about, and, you know, they talk about in shows like this, like myself, and that, we're just too small in numbers. I mean, they're just not reaching enough people. They're silenced. They don't want to hear it. And that's just the reality of it. Anyway, folks, I'll be back next week, the 23rd of March or April. As the lockdown continues, as the communist revolution continues, so I've just got one thing I'm supposed to play us out, I suppose, for the... just for the outro of the show, which I think is appropriate. So I'll leave you with it. If I can just find it. There we go.